Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. We're on Rumble, Vimeo. Forget about YouTube. We just get censored there, so we have a lot of UFO footage up there. We're on East City Stargate TV. Rumble, East City Stargate on Rumble. So you can find us just about anywhere. And I wanted to start out today with some news. There's some breaking news going on, and there's a lot of confusion, you know, concerning the Trump versus Alvin, the overfed chipmunk case. And some are saying they found him guilty. Some are saying they're still deliberating. The bottom line, the Trump team never knew what they're being charged with until the end. This is like nuts. Sounds like something I'm going through. The DA's case was based on the testimony of a pathological liar, a convict, and a porn star engaging in witchcraft with their possessed satanic boyfriend and her X-rated testimony, despite the fact that she made it public, the event never happened. So you can't make this up. This is like lawfare to the max. In the end, the case was based on federal charges the feds already dismissed as having no merit. So it was a kangaroo court and will obviously be overturned on appeal due to the lack of evidence and behavior of the judge, whose daughters and family had a lot of money riding on getting a conviction. So, you know, universal law states that whatever you do to another will be done unto you. So grab your popcorn and watch it unfold. The good news is Trump, you know, was flooded with donations, mostly small ones adding up to over $38 million and counting. It's still growing. A lot of Silicon Valley top investors are also abandoning the Democrats, cutting Trump some fat, healthy checks. They're just done with it. And, you know, the people have spoken, you know, so I bet there's a lot of jealousy when they compared, you know, their bribes with what Trump legally brought in, you know. So anyway, according to Real Raw News, the dark hat military has swung their support over to Trump and the white hats after seeing the extreme bias and miscarriage of justice being done to Trump. I think they finally had a come to Jesus moment concerning their oath, something I think almost all agencies need to do right now. I would expect the EBS, the emergency broadcast soon, declaring martial law as we shift from draconian law and tyranny to universal law and freedom. It's a long time in coming, and it's going to be biblical. Looks like the ATF are in trouble again. As if Ruby Ridge and Waco were not enough, legislation's in the works to do with them all together. Congress is holding their feet to the fire due to going rogue, doing raids, resulting in unnecessary deaths when a simple letter or phone call would have solved the problem. So I think a walk down history lane is in order for this one. You know, it's find it odd that no one had a body cam, ATF or police, and they shut off the power and taped over the security camera. You know, maybe this is Arkansas 2.0. Who knows? After all, he was the head of the major airport there. So I'll let you all connect the dots on that one. On a lighter note, I just got my new camera with 8K and it hooked up perfectly into the third gen night vision. And last night there was too many ships to count, several in one frame going in every direction, all of which was captured on film. So don't settle for ancient aliens and history, you know, fuzzy tic tacs and 70-year-old events like Roswell abductions. And the ridiculous question, are UFOs real? You know, we know who's on the ships, their agendas, their history concerning Earth. You know, we know many of them by name. So it's time to end the false disclosure, the controlled narrative perpetuated by the morally and integrity challenged UFO community. You know, so anyway, contact is happening now and the planetary awakening and healing and liberation of Earth is well underway. And it's time to end the censorship. The best is yet to come. A grand reunion with the greater family of man and woman is coming. The Star Nations, our ancient ancestors, are returning along with universal law. The fuelless energy, anti-counter gravity, miraculous healing technologies are unlocked. They'll be coming out here real soon. Prepare for a whole new world. It's also wise to prepare for the collapse of the old world because they can't coexist. So, all right. After that rant, it's time for tonight's guests. We've got Gail as a nurse practitioner, energy medicine practitioner, and teacher with a doctorate in theology. She loves to teach and claims to be a lifelong student. She's got a workshop coming up here at the ranch called Multidimensional Heart and Healing from the Inside. And without any further ado, I think she can talk about this a lot better than I can. So let's bring Gail on the show. So, Gail, are you with us?
I'm here. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank
I
you.
need I know I have to thank you so much for all the work you've been doing and all the support of eSteady over the years, and it is well appreciated and well documented, and I'm sure you've got some big bennies coming on higher levels, on that. I wanted to talk about I guess it's best to turn over to you and let you talk about the upcoming workshop and what you plan on teaching in that workshop and anything else you want to talk about. Just consider this, your show.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I hatched this idea of healing or taking a look at the multidimensional heart from a spiritual and energy medicine perspective, as well as taking a look at the what, the way Western medicine teaches us. And I have a strong, very long background as a nurse practitioner, 45 years, as I tell people, it's kind of like since the Earth cooled is how it feels at times, but it's given me the opportunity to learn and really think a lot about how we're doing our healthcare. And so I want to give people a little bit of background and reason as to why I decided to choose this topic. The main reason was the leading cause of death in this country right now is heart disease. Now, this was not always the case, and I'm going to give you a little background on that. The other reason I wanted to teach this was because I had a personal experience with a very serious heart issue about 2 years ago and landed in the hospital. And I will share more of that at the workshop because it was very enlightening. And I don't mean from the Western perspective. Now, that said, it made me start to take a look at why are we treating heart disease in the way we are? I really began to question a lot of that. I want to preface it by saying I had excellent care while I spent a week in the hospital. And the care was outstanding. So my providers were wonderful. But I think it is the perspective that we come from when we're taking a look at healthcare. So a little bit of background, as I mentioned, I stumbled onto a fascinating book called The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. And I probably stumbled on that about 4 or 5 years ago. And the author is Arthur Furstenberg. And he really got my attention right at the beginning because he laid out some important facts. One of the first ones was that he said that, and I want to say maybe in the 1850s, but it was, yeah, probably then, but he said that anxiety suddenly struck the world in several places at once. And they'd never seen about one sixth of the world's population was affected, and they'd never seen anything like this before. And the doctors didn't know what to make of it. And it interestingly coincided with the introduction of the telegraph. So, why is that important? Because it's a perturbation of the Earth's electromagnetic field. We're electromagnetic beings, we live in the Earth's electromagnetic field, and we are affected by the sun's fields as well. And we've got a lot of scientific evidence to back all of this up. So this isn't, woo or anything like that. And that's in fact what a lot of the ancient healing traditions, such as acupuncture and Ayurveda and some of these other things, are actually based on. So he went on to say that in about the late 1800s, influenza was invented. And I found that to be an interesting word, invented. So
Yeah.
that kind of got my attention also. And what he said was that showed up at the same time that alternating current showed up, that we started electrifying our world. And around the turn of the century, heart disease at that time was the 25th leading cause of death. And I think it was second to, I mean, you saw it more often in drowning. You saw heart disease in very old people and very young babies, and you just didn't see it otherwise. We also didn't see things like insulin dependent diabetes. And I can tell you that as I said, I've been a nurse a long time, and diabetics at that time tended to be very, very thin, and they did not live very long. And today, we can contrast that with basically what I consider an epidemic of type 2, what we used to call adult onset diabetes, that started to come into the landscape. It's probably been around maybe 30, 25, 30 years. I don't quote me on that, but somewhere in there. But it used to be a disease that we saw in adults, and now we're seeing it in children. And so this is the kind of thing that makes me, as a nurse, start questioning the narrative. I've questioned authority my whole life. Yes, my parents started with them, and I just had questions about all of this. So one of the things that he points out in the book is as we started to electrify our environment more, heart disease began to rise. And so it is now the leading cause of death in this country. But do I believe that it's all about electromagnetic, the electromagnification of our Earth? No, I don't. I think it's multifactorial, and this is why I want to share with people at the workshop some background. What is it that Western medicine has to say about why we get heart disease? What is Western medicine's, perspective on treating it, and why? And one thing I want to say, and I can say that this is not to diss my profession, because it is a very, very important profession. But I'm going to tell you, we tend to put band-aids on things. We do not get to the root cause of things. There are many reasons for that. A lot of it is the providers don't have time. We have a system that is not conducive to healing. So that said, I thought, well, I want to compare and contrast that with the Eastern view and Chinese medicine and Oriental medicine views, as well as the spiritual view. And I think it's telling when you look at the 10th leading cause of death in this country at this time is suicide. So for me, I think, we all know we're living in very, very unprecedented times. Nobody needs to remind us of that. There's a lot of crazy things going on. There's a lot of distraction going on, a lot of competing narratives. That's not what I'm here to talk about. It is the fact that all of us need to learn to start listening in here and discerning, because discernment's what's going to get us through, and quiet, and spending time in nature, so we can listen to our heart. Because some of the things that I want to talk about also are ways that we can work with the heart from an energetic standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. And one of my favorite things is about the heart being the seat of intuition. And there's a lot of good evidence to suggest that it is definitely the seat of intuition, and that we can get a lot of the messages we need when we listen in, we spend time. And this is why meditation, spending time in nature, spending time with nature, with plants, with animals, with like-minded people, it's all, it's all frequency based. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll probably be playing with some techniques you haven't seen before. And I'm going to be introducing some essential oils that can be very helpful, some particular techniques that I use myself to this day for my issue because I've been fine ever since. And just have people have a chance to really have fun and learn some new stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. I think about it, just through observation, you see that a lot of people that are just in their head too much, end up with a brain tumor, or things like that. They're imbalanced, they're just using the brain way too much, the mind too much. And then people whose hearts are closed end up having heart attacks. It's pretty obvious, you've balanced, that's how you solve it. You have brain time, you have heart time, and if you're just focused on one, the other, you're taking the energy from another, from the heart or from the brain or whatever, and it's an imbalance, and it's going to create a problem down the road. And I've also seen too is that it's not just thinking, it's negative thinking. We call it stinking thinking. You're doing the stinking thinking, which it's either self-criticizing or angry at the world or whatever, and all that negativity actually will create a problem because your body's saying, "Oh God, there's all this negative stuff going on here. I need to isolate it. I need to create a tumor around it or something." It all it you really think about it, and I see people with really constricted hearts, or they're very angry or want to control and dominate everything, or they're really wounded. Either way, it's mental, and so they've got to go in there and heal those wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and it both in the mind and the heart, and then everything can start functioning again. But I've just watched people that they work really hard, their mind's just focused on material money and things. They don't get out in nature. They don't have any downtime. Their stress is off the scale in their lives, and they wonder, stress is disease. That's the biggest killer is stress. And we're really being stressed out right now because the whole planet's undergoing a huge shift right now, a huge change. So we're all being stressed out. So we got to find that place of loving detachment and get out in nature and release all the stuff, let it go, and then you get solutions. That's when solutions come to you. You're not all freaked out about it.
Well, you brought up a good point, and that is about the stress. And for I've told my clients over the years, my patients, my students, that the stress response, and there was a great little video. I haven't tried to look for it for a while, but the stress response or fight or flight is mediated by the sympathetic nervous system. And when we get stressed, we up to 80% of the blood leaves the forebrain. Now, this is where we have our smarts, our coping tools, our mindfulness, all of that. Well, it's kind of like the blood leaves the building like Elvis did, right? And so you can't access up here. So I can say that. You get that. I mean, some of our audience may not know what I'm talking about, but anyway, that said, the blood travels into the body, goes to the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, and the muscles so that we can fight or we can flee. We also make increased amounts of adrenaline, which give us a lot of energy. We make increased amounts of cortisol. Now, cortisol in and of itself, neither of these are bad things in small, infrequent doses. But here's the deal. Cortisol will blunt pain, which means if the saber-toothed tiger bit you, you can maybe run faster than it does and get back to your area of safety. You'll get a burst of energy and you won't feel the pain until later. And the adrenaline helps you to do that. But what also happens is that three of the major body systems go offline. The first one is the gastrointestinal system because the blood is preferentially shunted away from the gut. So digestion stops. And we have so many people with gut problems and issues, and we're approaching it in different ways. I don't know that we have all the answers yet. I think we need to be looking at the role of the vagus nerve, which is a whole other, could be a whole other topic. But that said, that goes offline. The one second one that goes offline is the reproductive system, because it's felt, well, you don't need to worry about getting pregnant if you're being chased by the saber-toothed tiger. Okay. And the third system, and this is the biggie, is the immune system. And what they have found is that actually every time this happens, you will have a 6-hour decrease in a type of antibody called IgA that is found in saliva and throughout the whole gastrointestinal, lining the system, that is supposed to be there to take out invaders that you might eat. Because we tend to take in pathogens, at least sort of the conventional thought is we breathe them in, we eat them, or they go in through a break in the skin. Okay. Now, the problem with this constant immune system, reproductive, and gastrointestinal system being offline is that this is one of the reasons that I think we're starting, well, we have been seeing so much autoimmune disease, because there's a whole perspective that we talk about with autoimmune disease coming from the Eastern and energy medicine perspective. And that can be some things that I can talk about at the workshop as well. But the key is getting your energies balanced and keeping them there. And again, I cannot say enough about grounding, because not only are we being bombarded with living in crazy town, there's all of that, and we're spending time in our head and all that, but we're being also affected by the solar activity, which has been off the charts lately. We had a couple of weekends ago where we all got to see, well, a lot of us got to see the northern lights. And we're having geomagnetic storms, and we're having solar flares and coronal mass ejections and X-class flares, and then the Schumann resonances are being affected as well. So I think all the beings, everybody's feeling it. And quite often people don't understand that that's what's behind it, but this is a good reason to learn to hug a tree. I come from a time where we talked about the tree huggers and the environmentalists, but they were onto something, because the tree can actually do perform grounding for you, because you put your back up against a tree or hug a tree, you actually the tree will actually help with its roots take that extra electromagnetic energy and put it into the ground for you. So
Yeah, I
go
mean,
find a tree.
there's actually Qigong practices where you stand in front of a tree and you run energy through you into the tree, down through its roots, back up through you again, and you merge with the tree. And this is ancient medicine. I mean, they've known about this for a long time. I know the Native Americans, they'd be running and they get tired and they stop and they lean up against the tree and they just like a battery charger for them, that it recharges and they take off again. And so and they're little energy ports, if we know how to work them. But we've gotten so far away from that for some reason. And too, I tell people, taking your shoes off and walking on grass and just the dirt and getting grounded also recalibrates you with the earth, which is totally changing frequency because of the Schumann resonance and all this incoming energy. And like you're saying too, Stanford research, they expose monkeys to fluctuating energy fields like the solar flares and things like that, and they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation. So we don't have to behave like monkeys. We can go, wow, there's a major flare hitting, my electric fields are getting activated, I need to go ground this energy and do something with it, or I need to just lay down and assimilate it, and things like that. We know this, but if we just keep pushing through it, and it does create, emotional outbursts. It does create a lot of instability and things like that. And I know when there's massive flares hitting, I go, I'm not driving, I'm not going into town, I'm not engaging a bunch of people. I'm just going to stay home till after this is done and come out in public later, because everybody's, excuse my language, everybody shits up. It's come up and they're looking for a place to put it, to project and blame and dump, and all kinds of I hate to use the word Karen, but all kinds of Karens out there. And well, I don't know what the male equivalent of Karen is, maybe Ken or something. I don't know.
Carl.
But Carl, yeah, I don't know. But they're out there and they get all crazy. You know, they're crazy makers and they want, rather than dealing with their own stuff, they want to project and blame. And relationships are tough during these energies too, this shift, because everybody's stuff's coming up. And so, you know, people are going like this, you know, when you just have to go off and go, wait a second, you know, these are my feelings. Something's coming up for me. It doesn't make sense considering the circumstances I'm in. This is something else. And I'm just going to take some time off and go sit with this and own it and heal it and see where it came from, you know. But very few people do that. You know, it's they just go on to project and blame. I'm not happy because, and then their fingers going, okay, why am I not happy? You know,
Needs to be right back here.
yeah, exactly. They're looking for something exterior to blame on their unhappiness or their lack of fulfillment or whatever, you know.
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point, because we've been, unfortunately, sort of programmed into looking out there or going to someone, for healing or for answers, when the human body has the complete capacity to heal itself. We just have to give it the support. But we've, it's one of the things that I know I've seen in my career in healthcare, is that people. And I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm giving you a perspective, for our audience, a perspective. But you go to a healthcare provider to have them fix your issue. And the thing is, we need to work with, I think, our healthcare people. Some of them are definitely trying to do this. Others, they're not being supported in it. How about that? But we have gotten to the point where we're not treating our patients like partners. We should be in a partnership with our patients. And we have increasingly, the way the healthcare system tends to work, is made them more dependent on us, made our patients dependent on us, and look to us for all their answers. And instead, we should be empowering our folks to look for answers within themselves, to learn to listen and trust themselves, and that we're here to work as a partnership with them. And I know it was one of the frustrations that I enjoyed my career and I got a lot out of it, but one of the things that is kind of toward the later years, I would, when people say, well, should I get this test or should I do that or take this medicine or whatever. And I was a firm believer in telling people they had to make that decision. I was never going to say, you must do this. Here's the risks, here's the benefits, but you have to make that decision. And increasingly, I'm hearing from my clients these days, because I'm retired from medicine now, but I increasingly hear them say that they're just being told, you have to do this. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've
So,
seen
and you
that.
know,
There's we have what's that joke? I think what's the difference between a doctor and God? Is God doesn't think he's a doctor. And there's, you know, and I just see this. I see these doctors who've been trained by Big Pharma, and you know, that a lot of them are basically drug pushers. You know, I'll just be straight up with it. Push, they've been trained, you know, you have the book, and if there's this going on, you use this drug, and the pharmaceutical companies provide that drug. And it's sad because, you know, it may be an emotional problem. It might be a food allergy. It might be something totally different, you know, and each case is different. And so you got to get to know your patient and hang out and figure out what's really going on, what's happening in their life. You know, are they have a lot of emotional trauma? Are they in a bad relationship? You know, there's so many other things involved, and you know that, and we're missing the point. You know, it's not a drive-through McDonald's quick fix. You know, pill fix everything. It doesn't. Same thing with the awakening process. You know, when you have your dark night of the soul and all your stuff comes up. It's individual, it's your
Yeah.
stuff, that you're working with. They can help you with that, they can give you
Right.
some insights and clarity and share energy to help you clear that stuff. But basically, the bottom line is everybody has to participate in their own awakening and healing.
Yeah. And you said something really important because I remember I went to nurse practitioner school. I was one of the I actually got into one of the earliest programs in the country. So I graduated from nursing school in 1974 and then started the nurse practitioner program it was in Northern California, Sonoma State. And it was one of the first family nurse practitioner programs. And I remember one of my teachers who was a family physician, and he told me, he said, well, he told us, if you will listen, if you will give your patients 20 minutes to just talk, they will tell you what's wrong with them. And I never forgot about that because the biggest thing I think that's happening in today's world is become more disconnected with the use of digital devices. And I mean, when you hear about people breaking up with people, via text and things like that, or just not responding back, if somebody calls or asks a question or whatever. And the p thing is, people need to be heard. They need to be honored and they need to be heard. And when that happens, because I know that and we talk about in energy medicine and in Oriental medicine, there's an emotional component to everything. And emotions are not bad. Emotion means energy in motion, but it's got to move like everything else. And as you pointed out, we can end up with traumas being stored in the body, stuck energy. And the whole premise, when you think back to early Chinese medicine, the back in the day, the people would pay their practitioners when they stayed well. Whoa,
That's the
what
way
a
it should
novel
be.
idea. Right. And it is the way it should be. And the thing is it also was a way of empowering people, and that's where we've got to get back to. So it's one of the purposes of my workshop is to provide perspective. My job is not to tell anybody what to think. That's not my job. It's never been my job. I don't want anybody telling me what I should think. So therefore, but I love to share with people what we know and then offer some perspectives that maybe hadn't been thought about that get them thinking about what's going on in their own lives and, maybe coming up with some solutions that way.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen that, the thing about, you can say like the war and disease profiteers. How do you end war and disease? You take profit out of it. It's really that simple. It's not that complicated, and that is our main problem right now that we're dealing with on the planet. And it's like, I'm trying to think of how to dance around this, but I probably shouldn't. The bottom line is we are governed by people that are very supportive of war and disease. It's the biggest money maker, and the politicians all depend on it, the sponsorship from these guys to get elected and everything else. And we've gone way off track in this. And we need to get back to, that we've gone from serving humanity and the earth to totally disservice to humanity and the earth, and we've got to shift back to that. But I really like the old ways. There's people up here in Trout Lake that are doing that they're very, very reasonable. You go in and no matter what, you just pay a certain amount, they it's really a service. It's a major service. So, and you can pay so much a year as like a donation, and then you get all this time and whatever you need, and it's all about service and healing, and helping the people. And I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it's I like the concept of it. But they're getting away from the old program, and there's a lot of people too that refuse to get the the poke, and they were actually fired, and lost their jobs and everything. So now they're creating their practices and they're going back to the old medicine, the old ways, and which is great. And if you can find a doctor that's doing that, to me, I think a doctor should be part medicine man and part, whatever, allopathic. You got to have both sides covered. But I like a lot of the Native American, the elders. You have all these problems, and they, you go up to them, and you go, I need answers and this and this and this, and they go, have you sat with it? And they go, there's a big tree over there. Go, there's a lot of ancient wisdom in that tree. Go sit under that tree and then get back to me. And they come back and all their problems are gone. They've solved them, but they stop that external pattern of seeking outside of yourself and things like that and shift it back to internal. And a lot of people come back with their own answers and they end up healing themselves, so.
Exactly. Well, and this also brings up the whole thing of disease actually begins, of course, according to the more the Eastern theory and the energy medicine theory, is disease begins in the energy field. And that field goes out quite a ways around all of us. And I mean, Institute of Heart Math has measured, and we know that the heart actually generates an electromagnetic field that is 100 times more powerful than that of the brain, and that there's actually more neural pathways from the heart to the brain than vice versa. So again, it then begs the question, who's the real brain? Now, I know who I believe is the real brain. And they actually found that the heart, it got reclassified many years ago as a neuroendocrine gland because it secretes different hormones. And this was one of the things that made me so just sad and frustrated during COVID, is that we could, the lack of touch, because there's so many powerful things that happen, positive things that happen with touch. But we also make, the heart makes hormones. One of the big ones is oxytocin, and that is called the tend and befriend hormone. And when we hug other people, there's so much important little processes that go on when we hug each other. But it's because we get told we're separate, but we're not. And if we think about the fact that our electromagnetic fields, it's one of the reasons that a lot of us are feeling the energy out in the collective. Like you said, you kind of go, I'm not going to start a day. I'll try another day. But it's because our fields, we're all connected, and we're all big antennas when you think about it. We're transmitting and we're receiving. So again, it's also important to be thinking about what your thoughts are. And one of the things that I've said, and I try to do, I'd love to tell you I'm perfect and 100% all the time, and that's not true at all. But that is, if you're having an intrusive thought that just keeps coming in, change the channel. Find, one of the things that I love that's super easy for people, and it has a very powerful effect on the heart, is to create, keep a gratitude journal or even a list. And it's super simple. It is little things like, let's just say, I'll go out and walk with my dog, and I'll say, I'm grateful for my eyes because I can see this beautiful blue sky today. At least today it's blue. Beautiful blue sky and the beautiful mountain ranges with the snow cap in the background and all of the trees. And I'm grateful for my ears because I can hear all the birds singing. And I'm grateful for my legs and my feet because I can walk along this path. And I'm grateful for my dog because he's a nut and he's full of joy, and he makes me laugh. So it's that kind of thing. But as you start to add the list, you actually you can feel better. You start feeling different and better as you add those things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
And, I tell people, there's a cavity that sits right next to the heart, and it's an electrical cavity, and that's where your soul actually sits. And then, and so we're actually supposed to be guided and driven by the heart, which, as you're saying, has a much more electrical charge. It's much more conscious, not the brain. And the brain is just the intellectual, figure things out part of you. But the heart is supposed to be the driver, and it's where the real power is. And the soul's connected to the source or God, creator, great spirit, whatever you want to call it. So why
Right.
in the hell would you just use your brain all the time to figure things out if you're not in God, of the heart and the inner promptings of the heart? All you're working with is what you've experienced in this lifetime. And you have this vast knowledge of other lives, other civilizations, everything. Access to
Right.
that through the heart. It's not through the brain. But they've put so much emphasis on the brain for this society has, and
Yeah.
I think that's where we've totally gone off track.
Well, we have, and we have. And the other thing to think about is, again, from more of an Eastern perspective, they talk about, and this will be some of the other things that I'm going to be talking about, is the nature of chi or energy and the
Yeah.
different types, because it's fascinating when you start looking through that lens and taking a look at something called spirit points. But the other thing that's really critically important is the mind is set, it's called the Shen, and the Shen is supposed to be able to rest at night in the heart. But if the heart is uneasy or not settled, and this can happen energetically. We know that sometimes when there's too much energy or heat in the
Yeah.
heart, and this will it can cloud what they call the orifices of the heart. And that's a little bit different perspective than we're talking about them with valves and all that stuff. But this heart is unsettled, then people will tend to have more restless dreams and they have more problems with insomnia. And we also know that sleeping issues are directly tied to heart issues. So it's like you start to see all these parallels that come together. And as I've long said, it ain't about your cholesterol. And I'm sure I'll have wet noodles and things thrown at me about that. But cholesterol can be, if you think about it, it is an inflammatory marker. And we again live in an environment that, we're doing the best we can. We all know we have things in our food, things in our water, and we're all doing the best that we can. But those can set up inflammatory reactions. Bottom line, get out and ground,
Yeah.
because you can get free, unlimited antioxidants, just like what you were talking about, barefoot on the grass, because the Earth's magnetic field is full of antioxidants. You can't ever have too many or run out. And that actually, there's a great physicist that I had the opportunity to meet and take classes with, and his name is Dr. James Oshman. And he wrote, I think, one of the best books out there on energy medicine. It's Energy Medicine, the Scientific Basis. And he's done studies on grounding. They've taken a look at blood, live blood cells under the effect of grounding. We've had other researchers look at the effect on cell phones and all that. And I'm not here to diss the phone. I'm not going to get rid of my phone. You're not going to get rid of yours. But there's ways to work with all of these, and it still just keeps coming back to ground,
Yeah.
when it's all said and done. And I was going to say something too that is interesting is that in Europe and Russia, they began recognizing many, many years ago, I want to say it goes back to the 50s and 60s, that electromagnetic hypersensitivity syndrome, which many people do have problems with that here now, is actually can mimic. What do they call it? Multiple chemical syndrome, symptom syndrome. Anyway, but people who have a lot of chemical sensitivity, sometimes it ends up being that it's more of an electromagnetic thing. And there are a lot of things that you can do to help to ground your house and your bed and your person. But again, nothing beats going outside. And as Oshman said, you can spend 30 minutes a day. If you got to do it in 5 minute increments, that's fine, but you gotta get out there and get your feet in the grass
Yeah,
or
when I
sand,
was
that
gone,
works.
yeah, when I was gone in Hawaii, all this crazy stuff happened. But not just all the floods and broken pipes and everything else, but these weird things, like they came to the river house and they cut down all these trees, and just because they're near the lines and left them, and I had to clean that mess up. But they installed a smart meter without even asking me or anything. And I'm going, what is this? And I wouldn't have never noticed it. Just something told me to look at it. And I saw it flicking on and off and sending a signal out. I could feel it kind of, So right away, I put a big pie pan over it and foil and everything. And I put shungite on it, or those bombs they have, where they figure out they have the resin and the, what are those?
Oh yeah, I know. It'll come to me when we're not thinking about it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I put a couple of those on.
Oregon, Oregon, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah,
Yeah,
Oregon.
yeah,
Yeah, I put an Oregon
yeah.
that's on it too. So I'm sure there's nothing coming out of that thing. Whatever they're trying to tell me, it's sealed in. I put it on both sides, on the wall too. I put it on the inside wall. Put this giant plate on there that has all this shungite and a metal. It's really funny, but I can't wait till they come and look at
Oh
it.
well, I
You
know
know, nothing's
we were
happening.
able, they at least gave us some warning, and we opted out. We were allowed to opt out, but I'll tell you, it was tough. We've got a locked gate, and I had to actually tell the guy, because he started to come on property. I said,
Yeah.
we're on your list. We already opted out. We're going to pay a little more to not have a smart meter put in. And he got a little bit, and he said, well, it's a lot easier for us to do it this way. And I said, I understand that, but you guys have been doing just fine reading it the way you are.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Too, there's a lot of evidence, that they're doing a lot of damage, so, and I just don't like the control factor that they can actually shut off your. If they think you're using too much or whatever, they can, cut you back or shut you off or, it's like 100 and something, 10 degrees, and they're going to say, well, you're using your air conditioner too much. We're going to turn that off. It's like, so now you can't cook. You can't make dinner tonight because you used your air conditioner. I mean, it's just seriously, come
Yeah.
on, guys. But, it's to me, I just want to skip all that. But anyway, it's yeah, I think we just need to be a lot more proactive and just pay attention to what's happening on every level, on food we intake, the energies we intake, the what's happening on the outskirts of our aura. There's all kinds of other thoughts and energies coming in, psychic turbulence, and get out and ground and. And take your class on energy medicine and figure out what the hell's going on.
Well, and I think people will really enjoy it, and I'd love to teach, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll share some good pearls and tidbits, and they'll get a nice handout and a
Nice.
chance to be at the ranch. So that's
Yeah.
the
Yeah. We'll do some healing
best part.
circles and sky watches in the meantime and get to see UFOs and nature spirits and monsters and all the other stuff going on along with it. Too. It's a little added bonus. So yeah, it's always a great workshop, and I can't wait for these things to get going. But unfortunately we're out of time, so I'll have to close out. But
Sure.
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I think it's going to be a great workshop. And when is the workshop again? I don't have the dates in front.
It's June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right. And so check out the website. All the information's on the website, and go to eSETI.org, and it's all there. So on that note, we got to sign off. Thanks for coming on the show, and
Sure, thank you.
open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and it's not external, folks, it's internal. Have a great evening. Good night.
Night.
home.